Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is your host, Cedric Shabazz, live from Sin City, Las Vegas. Good morning. It's been a wild couple weeks here, and I really have so much to talk about. I don't know where to start, but so I'm going to stick to the script of today's show. Today's show is called Spiritual Ugliness Going Around in Society. And us believers always think we are in the last days, even if most of us won't be around to see it. Everything that is happening is pre-written for us believers, and even some of us are glad this world, is, as we know it, is at an end. I see a lot of couples arguing in society to the point of even possible violence. A lot of people in position of authority are spiritually oppressing the weak and vulnerable. Tough guys and women walking around proud with their chest poked out with bass in their voice. God forbid one does not jump when told to, might get beat down to death and then call it noncompliance. What is really sad is people in legitimate law enforcement is one thing, but these pretend wannabe cops is another. And they really get them and they really get themselves pretending on a whole different level. The saddest thing is for me to see is in homeless shelters and employees at Catholic Charities and Salvation Army treat their other homeless brothers and sisters, and I got a story to tell you. Once again, this show's called Spiritual Ugliness Going Around in Society, and it's just going around, you know. People, it's just like everybody's so asphyxiated with bad news. It's like, as a society in the United States of America, a lot of people are addicted to the news and bad news. Rumors of wars, we have wars going on. We have strange weathers going on, like tornadoes. We have a mass hysteria of possible race riots breaking out in the United States of America. We have law enforcement some people in law enforcement is abusing their authority. And, you know, I got a disclaimer to say I'm pro-law enforcement. So I am pro-law enforcement, and I am pro-guns, right to own. So just to let you know where I stand by. Does me be pro-law enforcement mean that I just turn a blind eye to when law enforcement makes mistakes or they do something intentionally? Absolutely not. I believe if you're law enforcement, and you go ahead and you disrespect somebody, you treat somebody bad, you take their life, or you disrespect them on any kind of human level, that believe that you should no longer be in law enforcement at all. And in the worst case, in the best case, in certain people's situations, you should be in prison. You should be in prison. And, you know, I made a comment the other day that got people thinking about this recent shooting of this African-American man out in, I believe it's South Carolina or North Carolina, forgive me if my facts are not right. But to my knowledge, the brother got shot at 8 times while he was running away from the police, and 4 of the bullets hit him, striking him in the back, killing him. And it was on video, and the officer basically pulled his weapon out and just took his time firing those 8 shots, like he was like had target practice. It wasn't something, as you saw the video, it wasn't something like a knee-jerk reaction or you know, he got startled or anything. He basically took out his gun as his brother was running and shot brother in the back. It is plain and simple. It's on tape. And, you know, of course, he comes out on national television, looks all emotional and everything, coming across like he's emotional, and he's asking people for forgiveness, and he thought he was taking out his taser, and he didn't mean to kill the man, and this and that. And you know what? And I sat there watching it for a second. I said, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, because I know that 70% of the United States of America that is watching the same thing I'm watching has sympathy for this guy. Sympathy. And, you know, and next thing you know, we have stonewalling, and you know, it's ridiculous. Because I made a comment last week, and it was something to the effect that, you know, if that cop was an African-American man, he would be in death row. He would be on death row. And the reason I say that is because the main fact is that 70% of the United States of America sympathizes with this cop for one reason, because he's a European American. That's right. I'll say it again. 70% of the United States of America population sympathizes with this officer because he is a European American. They feel sorry for him. They feel sorry for his family. They feel sorry that his life is it's never going to be the same again. They just feel sympathy for him. But they do not feel sympathy for that black man that is dead. That's right. They do not feel sympathy for that black man is dead. And the main fact is because not 70% of the United States of America has no sympathy for us black men in the first place. And they never will. That's just the way it is. It's sad, but it's a true story. So bottom line is, like I said, once again, if that African-American man was a police officer and he shot a European-American in the back and killed him four times or eight times, whatever you want to say, that African-American police officer would be, basically, he'd be in jail. And not only would he be in jail, he wouldn't be able to get, he would have no bail. And then he would get to a trial, then they would convict him, and he would get the death penalty. Simple as that. Simple as that. Actually, I heard no different. I've been talking about this for last week or so or 2 weeks, and I haven't heard anybody tell me that I'm wrong. And I may be very wrong to a certain extent, but obviously I'm not that wrong. So, you know, interesting scenario, what's going on in the United States of America. I mean, you just look at the how the media is exploiting everything. It's ridiculous. I understand if you're in the media business or in the news business, I understand reporting facts, I understand about reporting the news and giving people updates. But just to be totally on the negative, I mean, every channel you go to, it doesn't matter what channel it is, you know, they're constantly talking about war, they're constantly showing about police brutality, they're constantly showing a black man walk running around the streets like in Baltimore right now, like they're going to like burn up the city or something. And you know, it very well might be that a lot of civil unrest is coming in the United States of America this summer. You know, this might be like the riots in the 60s. And, you know, and I hate to say it, but God forbid that every city in the United States, a big city from Oakland to San Francisco to Los Angeles to let's say New York, Chicago, Houston, and New Orleans, and Cleveland, and you can just name all some major Philadelphia. You can name some major cities are going up in flames. I hate to say it, God forbid, but that's what's happening right now. Just crazy, unjust things going on, you know. And another thing that was crazy is going on is just the spiritual ugliness with this election coming November 2016 with Hillary Clinton. And I don't know who's going to be the front runner for the Republican Party, but it seems like it might be Jeb Bush, I would imagine. And do you really think they're going to let Hillary Clinton be the president of the United States? Are you serious? I'll be very surprised if she be the president of the United States. And let me tell you for one reason why. It's because they're not too keen in letting a woman be president of the United States. Did I say Hillary Clinton was unqualified? No. I think Hillary Clinton is very qualified to be the president of the United States, and more so because she's a woman. But the fact is, they're not going to let her be the president of the United States. And even though it may look like that she may be winning the president of the United States, when it comes to poll-wise, they will definitely steal the election somehow. They'll just blatantly steal it. I believe the Republicans will blatantly steal this next election to the point where it'll be so blatant that they stole it that they're basically telling everybody, F you, we stole the election. What you going to do about it? And what happens is the Democratic establishment will sue the Republican establishment, and these lawsuits will drag on for like 50 years. But by 50 years, who cares though? You know, who really cares what happens in 50 years? And that's their strategy: steal this election, and they're going to tie the election up in court, and while they hold office, while they're conducting the nation's business. And that's another example of what I call spiritual ugliness. And, you know, and spiritual ugliness in general is just like you go in society today, like pretty much here in Las Vegas, they call it Sin City, and it's, people think it's just like maybe a moniker or just a slogan. But, you know, Las Vegas actually is what it lives up to, what its name, what it says it is. I'm not going to get into the details because I don't want to be perceived as being a Las Vegas resident for 15 years and also being perceived as a hater of Las Vegas. So I'm not. Las Vegas is my home. I love Las Vegas for what it is because I've adapted to Las Vegas. And I will never talk bad about Las Vegas, but I will not tell the truth about it either. But it will be in a Christ-like manner. It wouldn't be in the way of any kind of intimidation or ugliness or, you know, it'll be a nice way of saying things. But my God, people, there is so much spiritual ugliness going around society. I mean, you know, when I'm riding the bus, I see couples of all races and everything, and they're arguing. I mean, the man and the woman are just, I mean, literally at the top of their lungs at each other in society. Come on, people. Don't you think that people could see that you guys can see and hear you guys are arguing in society? But what's really disturbing is I think they just don't care. That is what's disturbing as much. There's one thing for two people to get in an argument, a heated discussion, and just lose their composure for, you know, a couple seconds, you know what I mean, in society. And then they catch their composure and be like, oh, yeah, we're in society. But there's people right now that just F-U-B and F-U-M-F, you ain't never held a job and you sorry, blah, blah, blah. And it's really, and most of these arguments I hear about or kind of are seems to deal with over money, seems to deal with finances. It seems to deal with the lack of. But then it's, the arguments are more like it seems to be, besides the lack of, more like what you blew the money, you know. One of them situations where, you know, you went out last night and you did your drugs and you did your drinking and you did this and now we don't have our rent money kind of argument. So, you know, I would say a lot of addictive, probably addictions that are going around and the result of them not living right is they're out at each other's throats, you know. And so there's a lot of craziness going around in the spirituality sect, you know. People are just, and what it is fear. Human beings, when they fear the unknown, we don't think straight. And then we always want to focus on the negative, and then we're acceptable to the negative, and we'll kind of get into all the negativity that's going around. And I think that's what's going around, because I really believe that the majority of people, even people who are being ugly right now in the spirit or in the heart, are not that way. I believe that the majority of people are decent folks and nice folks and kind folks. And I will always believe that, regardless if it seems any different. And I'm, me being a believer, I'm constantly in prayer for everybody, and not only in the United States of America, in this world, to have some kind of common sense of decency that we're all human. Now, we may not be all the same color, may not be all the same religion, may not be on the same politics, may have, you know, you might live, I might live in the United States of America, you might live in Pakistan or China or Australia or Germany, or, you know, and South Africa. But the fact is, you know, that we're all human beings on this earth. It's incredible how we cannot say, okay, we're humans and we make mistakes and we don't have the same point of views, but let's treat each other with kindness? Of course not. Is that too much to ask? But it, in a sense it is, because it's in a spiritual attitude thing of a believer, you know, I am a believer, these things are pre-written, these end times that some of us, that we call Revelations, Armageddon, whatever you want to name it. And it's a real fear factor going on, because when people act ugly, it usually has to do something because they're scared. I don't know, they're scared about, I know for one fact they're scared about is the unknown. Now, for what particular reason I think they're scared of, like, you know, their circumstance, it might be over money. It may be worried about how they're going to pay their bills. Maybe a bunch of fear going factor about a person's health. Maybe a lot of fear going around because of the perceived perception by the news media of these dooming race, so-called race riots coming. It could be the fear factor of spouses having insecurities about each other, and on all different levels, from finances to infidelity. You know, there's just just so much uncertainty out there that it has people just frazzled, and they're just acting crazy and doing stupid stuff and saying things dumb in society. And the thing is, it's rampant. It's not just like a isolated incident anymore. It's just one of those things where majority of people are starting to act like that way. You know, it's like the majority of people who are perceived normal are coming less and less of the population. And it's like, so, you know, I go outside, I go about my business in society, and I see people talking to themselves. And not just having a conversation, you know, that's with a low voice, but just blatantly yelling out real loud talking like they're really talking to somebody. And I believe they are, because the spiritual wickedness in the devil is moving fast. That is his personal job. It is written, us believers, it's written that he doesn't have too much time left on this earth, so he's taking everybody that is susceptible to him down to basically hell with him on this earth and the hereafter. Now, the fact is that you may, regardless of what religion you profess you have or you don't have, you might say you're a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim, but or none of the above. You know, the fact you might be an atheist or you might be agnostic, but the fact is you can't say that the world is all rosy right now. And I think we have everything in common that we have right now. We all agree upon that this world is going into shit in a handbasket. I mean, nobody's even disputing that. We just lost all kind of love for humanity. It's just it's heartbreaking, you know. Well, anyways, I got 9 minutes left in the show. Once again, my name is Cedric Shabazz. This is Revolutionary Soul Talk Radio, also known as God Brother Radio, live from Sin City, Las Vegas, on this Saturday morning. It's overcast today, and it's windy, and it's a little about 60-something degrees, probably about 60 degrees, maybe in the late 50s because it's getting a little cooler. Probably get down to 55 degrees in the afternoon, maybe even 52 degrees. And once again, like I said, this show is called Spiritual Ugliness Going Around Society, and it's just a lot of ugliness going on. And you know, I have a little brief story to tell you. I yesterday was supposed to be my first public speech at the Salvation Army at my church, and I was going to testify and let my brothers and sisters know in the congregation, my homeless brothers and sisters know how good Jesus has been good to me. And so I had a 7 o'clock appointment, and I was running a little late, so by the time I got to Salvation Army, which is on 33 West Owens Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89030, please. People want to make a donation, once again, that's Salvation Army, 33 West Owens Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89030. Any financial contributions or food or used clothes would be very helpful to our homeless brothers and sisters down there. But getting back to my story, you know, so I get to Salvation Army, and I don't have a pass to get in. I don't have a code to get in, so I run around. I go to the west side of the building, and I see nobody there, but I do see that they have the gate locked, so now I can't get in the gate. So basically, unless you're, I guess, part of the program at Salvation Army, you're not going to be able to get in there after 7 p.m. because it's locked down. And also they have their security is on point there. So you're not going to get past too much anything. So I saw some people there, but they were too far from me to yell to say, hey, you know, I'm speaking at 7 o'clock, would you please get somebody to let me in? So I just went ahead and I jumped the fence. Now, I know it was wrong, you know, to jump the fence, but it was a little fence that I just had to get over. I had to get through a little courtyard, and then I was on my way to the chapel. It was about 6:46 at this time, and I think I jumped over the fence about 6:49, 6:50, so I had 10 minutes to get to this chapel. And as I was going about my business, a big brother talks to the sister, says, so-and-so, did you, is our gate open? And she said, no. And he goes, hold on. But by the time he's telling me to hold on, I'm always already halfway to the chapel, you know, and I throw my hands up and I just say, hey, I'm the guest speaker. I'm, you know, 7 p.m. I got to be at this church. And they're like, oh, you know, no, well, you got to wait for us, you know. So you guys are, you know, you just can't come on there and do all this. And you got to talk to us. And they were telling me what I got to do. And I got to go feed the flock. I got to speak to the congregation at 7. And here is these wannabe cops just basically talking crazy to me as I'm going my way to chapel. And I'm saying, what's going on here? So I get tired of their mouth, and brother and sister, and I just tell both of them and say, look, you know, if it's that serious, call the police. And I guess they really got mad at that. So I turn my back. I'm on my way to chapel. I get through the door of this chapel. The lady's ready to greet me. The congregation is there. I'm getting ready to speak. You know, I'm getting ready to shake my hand to Sister Captain Lisa Sam of the Salvation Army. She's a great sister in the spirit. Her name is Captain Lisa Sam at the Salvation Army. Great person. And we're about to introduce ourselves formally, and she's looking over my back because now I feel that those two guards that were trying to check me were basically standing behind me, the woman and male. And I couldn't believe that they ran in the church and confronted me inside the Lord's house with the congregation sitting there. Are you serious? I mean, it's one thing to apprehend me, or if you so say, or check me outside the facility, but once I'm in the house of the Lord, you going to act like that in the house of the Lord? I said, and then they were sitting there, and they were like pleading their case to the director that I disrespected them, and I threw my hands up, and I wouldn't hold, and I'm bucking their authority, and, you know, they were really on the power. I'll tell you something, folks. These are non-paid employees of Salvation Army and Catholic Charities. They are basically, they're doing their job. Their job, their paycheck is basically food, used clothing, and a bed, a locker, and a shower. And they're acting like they're Metro Police. They're acting like they're the freaking Johnny Law and stuff. And really ugly, really ugly. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this, and you know, something's not right here. It's spiritually ugliness. And to be fair, I did have a run-in with the big brother before, you know, to be fair. And he might have recognized me, and he might have came after me, and, because of the first encounter we had. He might have, I don't want him to get into that. But on a spiritual level, you know, I couldn't believe here I am in the aisle in church in the Lord's house, and there's people there waiting for me to speak, and I have these two wannabe cops from Salvation Army are pleading their case to the director in front of everybody. And so she had no choice. She had a choice, but she made the smart choice under the circumstances that she said, Cedric, this would not be a good day for you to speak today under these circumstances, but maybe next time. I'm sure we can next time or something to that nature. So I thanked her, and I walked out the church. Before I walked out the church, I let everybody there who was waiting for me to speak, let them know that I will see them later. And I left and came home and told my wife about it. And can you believe the balls of some people who are not in law enforcement? I mean, you're talking about ugly. And these same two people, a woman and a man, and everybody at Salvation Army know who I'm talking about. And even the staff at Salvation Army know what I'm talking about. Those two people don't need to be in a power of authority because they're abusive, they have no grace, and they're hard-hearted, and they really they don't have too good of a mouth and be examples to be some kind of authority figures, security or whatever, at Salvation Army. Because these two, I've seen them talk to other people and other homeless brothers and sisters, and they're homeless, and I'm not no more, by the grace of my God. But I see them talk the way they talk to the homeless and brothers and sisters, which means, you know, because they're homeless, they're still homeless. Just because they got a little badge and they got a little Salvation Army badge on and a security whatever position, I mean, and you know, they don't have their own place. They're still living right there amongst other homeless people because they're homeless themselves. But they got the nerve to have an attitude and act like and treat other people like shit? Are you serious? That is ridiculous. Salvation Army should be ashamed of themselves for having people, two people like that, and there's like three or four of them walking around there with their chest all out and treating people all bad. These people have nowhere to go. They're homeless, just like they are. You know, they're vulnerable, they're weak, and to have bullies run around and push people around is bullshit. And I hate bullies, so I'm calling them out on this. Salvation Army, you need to get your house straight. You need to get your house straight with your security guards. And Catholic Charities, you need to get your house straight with your security guards too, because they have a real bad mouth. And so I'd like to thank everybody for listening to God Brothers Radio. My name is Cedric Shabazz of Revolutionary Talk Radio also. And if you'd like to continue to support God Brothers Entertainment, would you please go to Zazzle, ZAZZLE.com/ Cedric Shabazz or Ced Shabazz, CD, Cedric Shabazz, excuse me, CDRICSHABAZZ. And please go to there and please purchase a hat, a shirt, a hoodie, a calendar, a coffee mug. I have over 200 logos and 5,000 products located at Zazzle.com, ZAZZLE.com, / Cedric Shabazz, CEDRICSHABAZZ. So I thank you so much. And kiss your family, be good to each other, people. And please, people, treat people with respect and not like strangers, because you never know who you might be entertaining. You might be entertaining angels. And that's also written in Hebrews. In Jesus' name, amen.